21st Century HR is a podcast exploring how to build better businesses through modern people practices and approaches. It's brought to you by my firm, Amplify. Amplify provides HR executive search and strategic consulting services that help companies build better organizations. From employer brand development and execution to global talent strategies, Amplify develops custom solutions that help clients from Hootsuite to SpaceX optimize their recruiting capabilities. Amplify also hosts a new community for HR leaders called the Ecosystem. The Ecosystem was designed to bring modern HR leaders around the world together to share ideas, inspiration, and support. Learn more at amplifytalent.com. Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to 21st Century HR Live. I'm your host, Lars Schmidt, and I'm really excited to be joined by two guests and friends today, Brian Adams of PH Creative and Charlotte Marshall of Danaher. We are going to be talking about a range of topics from life in quarantine, employer branding, writing a book, getting ready to publish a book that happens to coincide with a massive global pandemic. Ouch. And more of an ouch, planning a wedding in Italy that was set to take place next month. That obviously is not going to be taking place right now. So we're going to get into all of those things with Brian and Charlotte. One quick reminder for all of you viewers, this is an interactive show. So wherever you're watching this, wherever you're streaming the show, if you have any questions for Brian or Charlotte, ask them in the comment section. I'll do my best to cover those on air. So with that, let me go ahead and bring them on. Hello, hello, how are you?
Very good, Lars. How are you doing?
Yeah, doing really well. So, you know, obviously I gave the viewers a bit of an intro on you, but I would love to actually turn it over to you and have both of you give a deeper introduction to help the viewers know a little bit more about you and kind of where you're coming from.
Hi, I'm Charlotte Marshall. I'm the global employer brand leader at Danaher and the co-author of a new book on employer branding called Give and Get.
So I'm the other co-author of that book and Brian Adams, the CEO and founder of PH Creative. So we're an employer brand agency calibrated to work with large global organizations with complex talent audiences.
Very cool. So I want to get into, so you're both in Southern California, you're sheltering in place. And for viewers actually who know you both individually, but not necessarily collectively. So Charlotte and Brian are two of the leaders in the employer brand space, well-known, you know, respectively through their own work. They are also a couple who is engaged to be married, who was supposed to be getting married in Italy next month. So one, sorry about that. That really sucks. And then second, before we even get into the book and employer brand, is how are you both doing? Tell me a little bit about your kind of life sheltering your place in Southern California.
It's been interesting because Brian and I have been dating long distance for the majority of our relationship. So he spends half his time in California and his other half of his time in UK. And he happened to be here when shelter in place went into effect. So we have never spent 50 consecutive days together. Ever. So that's been kind of sweet and interesting.
Yeah. No, it's been nice, but it's a disruption to routine, you know, and it's interesting. We both saw something on Twitter about partners who find out about their professional alter egos of their partners. And, you know, so we've been watching each other work and, you know, it's been fun and interesting.
All right, so we're gonna have to like pull that thread a little bit further. I want each of you to share one thing you've learned about the other as a professional partner now that you've been cohabitating and sheltering in place.
So when Charlotte runs meetings, she's the circle.
No, I'm not.
You what?
I am.
She's the circle back person. She's like,
oh yeah.
That. It cracks me up every time. Very professional demeanor though.
I got it. Okay, Charlotte, give dish on Brian. Let us what's something about Brian we don't know in terms of his work demeanor?
So we share an office in our home, and every time he comes in and I'll be deep in thought and I'll be working on something, and he comes in and I'll be like, right. And he looks around and he's trying to figure out what he's gonna do next, and he totally disrupts my concentration and what I'm doing.
It's true.
Or then if he gets frustrated, he says the most endearing things that I just crack up. I'll be like, crap-a-doodle-doo.
A little insight into what's going on inside my head. I should probably learn to think quietly.
I can't be mad at that. That's, you can't hold a grudge at that. How are you handling? Because obviously, a lot of our work meetings these days are video. you both are sharing an office. How are you handling that with like noise and just kind of general space?
I'd say he's handling it better than I am. He speaks louder. He doesn't need quiet to concentrate. He likes to sleep with the TV on. I'm just putting on headphones. And when I get frustrated, I walk and lock myself in the bedroom. Or our four-year-old will walk in his underwear in the middle of live meetings. And you just kind of laugh. The nice thing is that Everyone's so, I don't know, just sensitive. And Everyone's more vulnerable than we've ever been with blending work and family. Yeah. And when I have technical issues, I just tap Brian on the shoulder and he'll pause a meeting and come over and fix my computer. And that is amazing.
Yeah. I've been promoted to tech support a lot, which is fine. But, you know, we've got quite a nice space outside. So it's kind of whose meeting is the most important takes preference over, you know, getting the most Wi-Fi signal.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a balance that a lot of couples who are both working and both at home, especially also with kids, are trying to kind of balance and coordinate their calendars as best they can. I was talking to Susan Lamott last week, and she kind of broke me through their day of how her and her husband are divvying up responsibilities. And then it was an hour, I think, from 4 to 5:30, where it was a negotiation of who had the most important calls. You know, they would then get the calls, and the other person would be taking care of the children. So I think we're all trying to find, you know, whatever balance can work and refining that as it breaks, which it often does. I want to get into Give and Get because I think, you know, you've written a tremendous book in the employer brand space and very excited for the launch. I know it's something you both have been working on for, you know, over a year. And then this weird global pandemic hits right around, I think literally right around the time it was an actual launch day. So walk me through that. Like, how did you adjust? How did you pivot the way that you kind of introduced the book in a time when clearly people were very, concerned and distracted by this massive global event?
Not very gracefully, I'd say. We're supposed to launch on St. Patrick's Day, which is just a fun, special day. And we had so much promotion and influencers lined up to help us support. And there's a lot of great voices and contributions in the book that we had tapped to ask to help that week. And March 15th was the shelter in place order in California, and the whole world started shutting down and adjusting to working from home. And we just knew that it was the worst time in the world to probably launch a book on talent attraction. So we halted everything. We sent a couple emails. And what we learned is when you launch a book on Amazon, you actually can't control when they start selling and shipping the book. And even though we had planned and put all the promotions towards March 17th, they had started shipping the book a week or two earlier.
Yeah, the horse bolted, didn't it? And obviously, we then sort of wrestled with, you know, it feels like self-promotion and it's like it just didn't feel right in our gut. We also then had a sort of pang of guilt because we'd asked a load of people to contribute and a lot of people were just ready to just crack on with that plan. But then how do you reach out to people and remind people? So essentially, you know, the right thing was to delay and just acknowledge the fact that actually, in the grand scheme of it, launching a book just doesn't matter. So we hit pause and it was just a very sort of flexible call in and audible on the plan. But then, you know, as the days and weeks sort of went by, it was like, well, look, we just need to put it out there and just get this out, you know?
I remember I was speaking to one of my friends and they said, you know, I don't think that's right at all. Did you write this book to promote yourself or did you write this book to help people? And knowing that it had already been released and some people were starting to write about it, we thought we were doing a huge disservice to not start talking about it. So we did the world's softest launch ever.
Yeah.
We spoke about it minimally and we just let things happen organically. And luckily it did become an international bestseller the first week on Amazon, surpassed any expectation that we had. And now we're finding it's such a relevant conversation to be talking about employer brand, especially in the time of COVID. So we're shifting a lot of, you know, the book doesn't obviously speak about COVID, but we're speaking a lot more about EB in this time.
Yeah. So luckily the heart of the book is super, super relevant right now. You know, and part of that is changing the conversation from EB for talent attraction to EB around employee experience and transparency of what it's like to work at organizations. So yeah. It was a journey, it was interesting, but in the grand scheme of it, you know, it just kept falling down the list of priorities, you know, when obviously, there was a, you know, global pandemic kind of takes preference, preferential priority, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think when you, you know, obviously you had no window of what was coming when you're writing the book and you're setting a launch date. And, you know, it's this weird balance. Probably, I think, right when you launched it, not so much because the obviously COVID was new and everybody's, you know, making rapid adjustments, unexpected adjustments on the fly. And things are, you know, as stabilized a little bit in terms of like everybody's kind of made that shift and we're still in this new phase where like we've made that initial shift and we're trying to figure it out from here. And I think it's hard for any content creator to kind of determine like what's the right balance of like sharing your content. And you know, there's always a degree of promotion of your content. You can't just create content and not tell anybody that it exists, right? There's a degree of promotion that goes into it. But walking that line of like not wanting to seem tone deaf to the times to be like, look at this thing I did, you know, while saying like, look at this thing. You know what I mean? Like you have to, the softest launch, I get that, Charlotte. It's like, you want people to know about it. You know, but it's this weird balance of not overly, you know, communicating for risk of feeling, you know, tone deaf and then alienating people who would otherwise, you appreciate the content.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people think when you think employer brand, you think of talent attraction. And then you think of what's happening to most workers across the world right now. And it seems like the most irrelevant book in the world. But my background's internal communications and my bias is always activating EB internally to re-recruit recruitment and engagement tools. So there is a lot of value, I think, in the book talking about how to use EB internally and how to galvanize your people. And I'm hoping that some of that is really relevant right now.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of our big arguments is, you know, EB isn't just a broadcast of strengths, benefits, and opportunities within an organization. It's leaning into the harsh realities, the adversity to be found within an employee experience, and the vulnerabilities within a company. And I think there's never been a more socially acceptable time to talk about the vulnerabilities and harsh realities of the employee experience. Yeah. You know, so what we hope now is, you know, we can, you know, share that insight and that approach and that philosophy, and it can be adapted to not make, well, to make the best of a situation, but also capitalize on how organizations are adapting and showing empathy and compassion, and also recalibrate into the times. You know, because, you know, what we talk about is it's okay to share the demands and expectations of the employee experience. It's not just the selling the sizzle of, you know, the upside.
Yeah.
And what we found is candidates want to answer that one question, you know, what does it take to thrive with inside your organization, so they can make an educated decision as to whether to join and to whether they would succeed themselves. And from an employee experience perspective, you know, employees want to be acknowledged and appreciated for the hard work that they put in under conditions that do include, you know, the harsh realities of, you know, time pressure, you know, a lack of process or lean resources, and, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly of everybody's working day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it goes back to the idea of, you know, great employer brand attracts and repels, which I know we've had a lot of conversations with. I want to jump into one of the questions from a viewer on LinkedIn. John Graham is watching us, and he's asking about how should companies be shifting their approach towards employer branding in the midst of a pandemic? Like, obviously, these are unprecedented times. The kinds of stories that we tell, that we were telling in January, probably aren't going to be as resonant or relevant now. How should we be, you know, what shifts are being made by companies that are facing, you know, financial constraints, layoffs, challenges to the business? How should they be communicating, assuming that they're still hiring? How should they be communicating while all that's going on?
This is such a good question, and I'm so glad you asked, John. I think the best thing that everyone can be doing right now is hitting pause and taking a step back and focusing EB internally before going externally and using it to re-recruit the people that you already have and reminding them why they joined in the first place and why they should stay. And this is a pivot for a lot of employer brand practitioners that haven't traditionally focused internally. So it might mean conversations and partnerships with internal comms and corporate communication teams, but starting there and building that foundation and that advocacy is really important. We're seeing examples all over where people are getting this really right and getting it really wrong. And we've been saying a lot, this is the year of employer brand before COVID. And I think now more than ever, how people are treated and made to feel during this time will define your brand for absolutely decades.
Yeah.
And when you're letting people go, It's a really challenging time. You probably don't have budget for talent attraction, so you've got to start to work really scrappy.
Yeah. And I think we've got to also remember that the role of employer brand in this isn't the why or the what of the communications or the situation. It's the how. It's how the communication is packaged and balanced, communicated to employees. And I think in times like this, with so much uncertainty and turbulence, there's an opportunity to bring your employee base clarity, certainty, and familiarity of your employer brand, and demonstrate, look, our world's changing right now, but dial up and dial down the proposition of your employer brand to demonstrate, look, these guiding principles and these behaviors are consistent, and this is what you can count on, and this is what is the same, but be very clear with what's changed. And I think this is the opportunity for us to be very clear with, okay, this is the situation, this is the current reality, this is the future reality, and here's how the demands and expectations of the employee experience have changed. Here's what we now ask of you to help us get from here to there. There's a fantastic opportunity to galvanize an internal workforce and reinforce a sense of purpose, a sense of impact of how you can contribute and galvanize people together to get through it. And as a result of that, collectively, there's a great opportunity to strengthen that sense of belonging together. We've talked a lot about true character is revealed under great pressure. Well, this is one of those pressurized situations. And, when you're in the trenches with somebody and you're in a foxhole, you've got to get out. These are the moments that, define organizations, but these are the moments that employees will remember and possibly cherish because they've worked really hard and achieved something that is really significant for the organization and each other. So I think offering familiarity, certainty and clarity to employee bases is really important. And then there's a difference between telling stories and collecting stories right now. And I think now is a golden opportunity to collect real human stories that people look back on and reflect on that can really reinforce a very authentic perspective of your employer brand.
Just to build on that, a couple tactical things I would do if I were you. To build on the collecting stories now, I think one of our predictions is that post-COVID, one of the number one most asked questions candidates will have, whether or not they'll join your organization, is how you treated your people during this time. How do you protect their safety, health, and well-being? So whether or not you're publishing that stuff externally, you want to gather those stories and examples now. What are your people first policies? How are you being agile and spinning up agility? How are you keeping your manufacturing operations safe? And gather examples of those. If you are going through layoffs or you're about to go through layoffs, we're seeing examples of companies that are really going above and beyond to support people who have been impacted. And I would urge my organization to do that. I don't know if you saw the example of HubSpot. They came out, any former HubSpotter who is an alumni that got impacted by COVID, they actively helped find new jobs. Mm-hmm. And you're also seeing other heads of talent acquisition promoting and offering up their people, whether it be on loan. And that generates so much goodwill.
Yeah.
So taking steps like that and helping to communicate. And then the final thing that I would be doing is rethinking my EVP. It's a living, breathing thing, and it should shift and change as the wants, needs, and desires of the market change. We predict that the market, what they want, is going to change pretty dramatically post-COVID. It's probably starting right about now. Things like safety, things like stability, and what was the third one that we were always saying? I can't even remember, but they're going to rise in priority. So Whereas company performance or having a really cool product line might have been the most important draw to your company pre-COVID, things like being able to weather a global pandemic, things like how you keep your employees safe, virtual work, and whether or not you offer virtual work will very likely rise in the priority of what the candidate's looking for.
Yeah, and I think that's a really interesting point. The employer brands is something that should offer the consistency and certainty, but the EVP, the job is to reflect and flex with the environment and the priorities, wants, needs, desires of the collective culture. So what was really relevant from an EVP perspective 9 weeks ago might actually be completely irrelevant or different priorities of your EVP need to be dialed up and dialed down.
Yeah, you know, I think those are great points. I think when you look at the core of employer brand today, right, which is radically different than it was in January, and I've had a couple of conversations with this, that really employer brand is starting to intersect with CSR and corporate social responsibility, because those are the kind of stories that prospects want to hear. They want to know, to your point, Charlotte, like, how did you treat your employees when this happened? When you had to go through layoffs and reductions, how did you do it? You know, was it a recorded message on Zoom? Or was it something a little more human and kind of understanding the situation? So, you know, those stories will linger. Like, there'll be another side of this at some point. But the stories of how those companies responded now will still be there. And I think it's going to be important for prospects as they're gauging, you know, whether they want to work for you. I want to come back to the book just for a moment, because, you know, the title of the book, you know, Give and Get, I think, you know, I get it. I certainly understand what it means. But for viewers that may not be familiar, like, I know there's a definite intent behind the title. So why don't, and either one of you, I'd love to hear kind of your perspective on the origin of the title.
Well, I'm getting looked at, so I guess I'm in the hot seat. So Give and Get is our belief on what a true EVP should be. And we think that most EVPs are 50% incomplete. They're missing the really good stuff that makes your organization unique and special. And it's something that I really stand behind, because I've activated 4 global employer brands at Fortune 500s with the conventional method. Then I met PH Creative and we built an employer brand together at Magellan Health. And Brian taught me this new framework, and it's really a mutual value exchange. Rather than thinking about your EVP as a magnet that attracts everyone towards your brand, a Give and Get EVP is a smart filter. It articulates not only what you offer candidates and associates and employees, but it also articulates your expectation as an employer of what it really takes to thrive and survive at your organization. And by combining the Give and the Get for a prospective candidate, it gives them much more information on the front end so they can make an educated decision whether or not they want to apply and push forward.
Yeah, that's why I look at Charlotte, because she says it much more eloquently than me. You know, and from an employee perspective as well, it offers that acknowledgement and appreciation for what somebody has to do to thrive inside an organization. And what we've found over the years working with so many different organizations of different sort of shapes and sizes is that's the best way to tap into any sense of pride and passion, because behind anything that you're proud about or you're passionate about, there is an adversity that you've had to overcome. You know, if something was easy, then, you know, why would you be proud of it, kind of thing? So it's a great way to re-recruit the talent you've got, and also communicate with an authenticity that employees will buy into. You know, we've all seen referral schemes and campaigns where people are being tapped up to just say, it's great here, you'll love it, you know. Those days are gone, you know.
Right.
Yeah, and you mentioned the correlation between employer brand and CSR, which I think is a super valuable point. Like, we believe that on the other side of that, you can now tack on marketing. You know, the line between consumer brand and employer brand is just completely shattered. And actually, if you were to go back in time in your DeLorean and look at how an organization holistically navigates COVID, you would say, and we believe going forward as well, the smartest marketing dollars are not to talk about the features and benefits of a product or service. It's to tell the human stories of the people behind your brand.
Yeah.
You know, because consumers now, like, there's no distinction between employer brand and consumer brand. You're being judged on brand, and we're more transparent than we've ever been. You know, so it's all just one brand experience, and people want to make consumer decisions knowing the ethics and integrity of how you run a company now. And the best way to do that is to tell human stories.
Have you seen those shaming sites that have come up? Especially, I think Hung published one in Recruiting Brain Food 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And it was all the stores on High Street in London got a consumer rating, good, fair, bad, how they treated their people during COVID. And it was warnings whether or not you should buy their products and services.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think people are looking at it that way. And it's interesting, as you talk about consumer brand, you know, from an advertising perspective, you can't watch the show like any primetime network television at night without being bombarded with, you know, in it together kind of heartstring pulling shows, which in the early days, I was like, okay, these got me. I think I actually probably cried at the Uber commercial the first time I saw it because it hit me. But then I was just like, it feels too much. Like I get the intent, but I would love to see a brand find some sort of a lighthearted humor angle to this, which there are plenty, like trying to figure out Zoom. Like there's a lot of awkwardness in this, and like we can't lose our sense of humor. And I'm not diminishing the times that we're in by any means. I mean, these times suck and they're difficult, but the, you know, humor is human, and that's a big part of our humanity as well. So I'll be interested to see from an employer brand perspective, who's going to be the first to take that chance.
Yeah.
Right, try to do a lighthearted humor aspect. Brian, I want to ask you a question as well. So as we're kind of navigating these waters, in COVID, a lot of organizations have stepped up and have done, things to try to support the communities where they work. And PH Creative is a great example of that. So you and your whole team created a fund to support the community. I'd love to just hear a little bit more about that. And I especially want listeners to learn a little bit more about what exactly you're doing there.
Yeah, so essentially, with our team navigating like how we just get through the times together and all the rest of it, once we got our own house in order, the sense of sort of doing something about the situation came from the team, really. And we wanted to help organizations best we could. Not much we can do about COVID-19 directly, but one of the predictions from our team was, it's really, really difficult to lay off hundreds or thousands of people. It's probably going to be 10 times harder to then recruit them back. And one thing that isn't within our control is to better prepare organizations to do that. So given that we're set up to work with large corporations, we've got a couple of things that we can do. One is our enterprise level career website platform. We've basically waived the fees of the design and development, which starts from 75K, but typically is about 140K. We can rapidly move through that process as well. So any organizations that anticipate a struggle to rehire, hopefully we can help them there. So that's one. And then from an employer brand strategy and consultancy perspective, basically we're offering a 50% match funding. We wish we could do more. We can't do everything completely for free because we're a small business navigating these times as well. We've got to preserve cash and all the rest of it, but we've carved out what we're comfortable doing, and it's something the team are 100% behind.
Yeah, that's great. And I appreciate you doing that. I think it's great to see companies that are stepping up in that way. It's interesting. A lot of HR tech companies, what they've done is they've kind of said, we're going to give you a discount for 3 months, or maybe free for 3 months, and then we're going to hit you with our fees. And it's more of like a hook to try to maintain business. And I think it's being perceived that way. I think that very few companies are actually taking the stance you are of saying, like, we're really going to, invest in you and help you, kind of allow yourself to rebound from this when you're able to. So just want to give a virtual hat tip with no hat, to you and Dave and the entire team for that work. The last thing I want to leave you with. So we close every episode with a segment called One Good Thing. And so I want to give you both the closing word and to have each of you share kind of one good thing from your past week.
One good thing from my past week has been getting our whole family spending time at a farm in Temecula riding horses. So it started with our 6-year-old getting a pony, has now progressed to Brian riding, our 4-year-old riding, and even our nanny, the galloping nanny, is also riding horses now, and we're spending so much time. It gives me such joy to watch them ride. And Brian did his first canter on Saturday. And those of you that know horses, you're supposed to post at the trot and sit at the canter. He starts cantering around the ring. We get in the car, we're driving home. He's like, wow, it's so much easier to post at the canter. And it made me so happy.
There you go. Mine's daft, really. I did a chalk drawing on a pavement earlier in the week, and getting back to art and being out in the outdoors doing something creative just made my heart happy.
Yeah, well, that's great. And I have no direct pony or direct horse anecdotes other than in the world of My Little Pony, they're known as earth ponies. So that's my contribution to the horse conversation. That's all I've got. It also tells you about, where we spend a lot of our time these days with My Little Pony. So Charlotte, Brian, thanks so much for coming on, sharing your experience, sharing your work. I definitely appreciate it. And be sure to tune in tomorrow. We're going to be back same time, noon Eastern, with Chris Bailey coming all the way from the Cayman Islands. So we're going to talk a little bit more about what is life in quarantine in a really difficult place to live like the Cayman Islands. So thanks so much, everybody, for tuning in. Stay safe, and we'll see you tomorrow. See you, Brian and Charlotte.
Bye. Cheers. Thanks, Lars.
Thanks for listening to this episode of 21st Century HR. If you want to hear more episodes like this or read stories from the 21st Century HR Fast Company series, go to 21stcenturyhr.com. And if you want to make your podcast just a little more awesome, be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, or whatever podcast platform your ears desire. You'll find all the subscribe links on the website. And if you enjoy the podcast, do me a favor and share it with your peers, your network, your boss, and your CEO. Help me get the podcast into the ears of anyone who wants to know what HR and recruiting looks like when done really well. They'll thank you for it, and so will I. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next episode.